degrees, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very, very serious yet unique, very important theological, biblical issue today. That issue is, will Israel survive? It looks like right now, as we're speaking, in fact, Benjamin Netanyahu and his speech before the United Nations talked about the fact there's 7 different entities and groups, not necessarily nations, but 7 different groups that's surrounding Israel today that's trying to wipe them out. You have the Houthis over in Yemen. You have the Hezbollah in Lebanon. You have the Hamas in Gaza. You have over in the West Bank, what is called Jordan. You have that portion there and all of Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, that's trying to totally eviscerate the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And so the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered, do these Arab Islamic jihadists have a right to the land? Some will say yes. In fact, it is called, in some terms, they're calling it the Palestinians. There's no such ethnic group as Palestinians. They've never existed. It was the, how would you say, the term that was used back when Rome was in charge or in control of the Jewish people in that part of the world, that they call it Palestine. You have it mentioned one time in the scripture, I believe, referring to it as Palestine. But there's no such thing as Palestinians. That's not an ethnic group. But the Palestinians, they're claiming that they own the land, they have the right to the land. They're claiming that Israel are just setters, squatters, if you please, and that they need to be cast out. This is the reason you have the, how would you say, the low informational voters, as Rush Limbaugh used to call it, that's plying the streets in front of the colleges and universities across America, saying, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. They're talking about, when you look at it from the river to the sea, they're talking about evisceration, total destruction, annihilation of the Jewish people. And some might think that's good. Some might think that's necessary. In fact, Dr. Phillips, we have every president that I can recall in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100, but every president has said we need to have a two-state solution. That's dividing Jerusalem, making the capital of Jerusalem for the Islamics and the capital of Jerusalem for the Jewish people. What does God say? Will God's land ever be divided? Will Israel ever be divided? Does God's word indicate that one day it will be divided and that the Jewish people have just a portion of the land? It goes back to the question of who owns the land. But I want you to give a little ramification, if you will, and understanding for our listeners, because May 14, 1948, when Israel became a nation, the Arabs that were wandering as some of the Bedouins of that day, they didn't want the land. It was just tumbleweeds, not growing anything, not producing anything, arid, dry, vacuous land. They didn't want it, but God gave it to Israel. Talk some about that whole picture.
In answer
to the question, who owns the promised land? I believe that we need to know and believe about its ownership, first of all. The Bible tells us that God himself possesses heaven and earth. Amen. And all creation. Psalm 24, 1. The earth is the Lord. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's.
That's right.
And the fullness thereof. So, you see, throughout the scriptures, God claims ownership of every created thing. And he has the right to do that. In Genesis 14, 22, Abraham was introduced to the Most High God, and he has this title, Possessor of Heaven and Earth.
Amen.
And so Jeremiah also talks about that. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord was talking through Jeremiah the prophet to the people of Israel and correcting them. And he made mention of the fact that he had brought them brought them out of Egypt and placed them and gave them a good land. And here's what it says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. In Jeremiah 16, 18, he makes the same statement. God calls the promised land my land. It belongs to the Lord. Since God is creator and the possessor of heaven and earth and the owner of all things, he has the right to choose the heir or the one to whom he will give the land. God is the heir. Now, according to Genesis chapter 17 and following chapters, God gave the land of Canaan to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and their descendants for an everlasting possession.
What does that mean, everlasting possession?
Well, that means it's forever. They have a right to the land.
So the title deed doesn't expire.
the promise is given throughout the scripture and throughout Jeremiah. God gave the land of Canaan to Abraham, Isaac, and to Israel. And that promise is repeated, especially in Psalm 136. If I may turn there for just a minute. Psalm 136, the Lord has made some statements, and they're followed up by many promises in the scripture. In Psalm 136 and verse 21 and 22. And gave their land for an inheritance, or an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel, his servants, for his mercy endureth forever. And there are repeated statements throughout the scriptures that God gave it to the descendants of Jacob. They're called Israel.
And in Genesis 25:5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. What does that mean?
Well, that means that everything that God has planned then is going to benefit and be worked out through or accomplished through the descendants of Isaac. Mm-hmm. Isaac is the special promised son that God gave Abraham and his wife miraculously. God performed a miracle to give them a son. He's the promised son. And everything that God has for Israel is going to be through the descendants of Isaac and then through Jacob.
And not Ishmael.
Not Ishmael. Not Ishmael.
Now, Dr. Fuchs.
And so Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, Genesis 25:1, not to Ishmael. You see, Ishmael, Abraham's son, was given the wilderness of Paran, or it's called sometimes the wilderness of Shur or the wilderness of Paran on your maps. Depends on who the map maker is. That's a place down near to Egypt, in the Sinai Peninsula. God gave him an inheritance there. Likewise, God gave an inheritance to Esau, son of Isaac, and it's called Mount Seir. And it's called Edom in some places in the scriptures, in Genesis chapter 36 and other places. When the children of Israel were returning or being brought out of the land of Egypt in the Exodus, God instructed those people not to meddle with Esau and his people.
Mm-hmm.
Not to meddle with them.
Yeah, leave them alone.
Because that was their inheritance.
That's right.
That land they would have to cross to get to the promised land. And so the Bible tells us they made a detour. And in scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 5, and in Joshua chapter 24, verse 4, we're told that God gave them instructions saying, I have given Esau Mount Seir for his possession. What I'm trying to get at here is God gave Ishmael, God gave Esau, God gave the descendants of Lot a place to live. Lot's sons were given the land of Ar, spelled, and it's what we know as Jordan today.
Yes, that's right.
Just south of that, then you have Moab, the other son. And then you have just nearby that, the place where Esau was to live. And so God gave these other people a place to live, an inheritance. They have their own land.
That's right.
And Israel has their own land.
Yes. And one of the things, Dr. Phelps, that's always been an intrigue to me with these, I call them Islamic jihadists, the Arabs, that call themselves the Palestinians now. Why is it that other Arab nations do not want them, will not let them come in? They're claiming they need a land, they need a place, and as you just shared from the scripture, God's given each of them their own land,
yes.
And here it is, the land that he's given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land that he's given as the gift, if you please, the title deed to what we call the promised land today. Why is it that we find so many in America, so many political leaders in America today that seemingly cannot understand that, or they don't know that, and somehow, some way, thinking that we should dictate to Benjamin Netanyahu, we should dictate to the Jewish people what they need to do with their land. That would not be acceptable, will not be embraced, will not be viewed as being correct for Canada, for example, to tell America what we need to do with our land.
Right.
But yet, that's what is taking place.
You're right.
What are your thoughts about that?
Well, my thoughts are that all of this is demonic agitation.
Yes.
They're just stirred up about something that they don't understand. They're blinded to the truth. They don't know what we just talked about here, that God has given people an inheritance. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In fact, in Psalm 115, verse 16, the Bible says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men."
Mm-hmm.
God was gracious in giving other people a place to live. And with Ishmael, he was given a place there in the Sinai Peninsula near to Egypt, and there's a lot of elbow room.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they not want that land? What's so special about the promised land? And I think it's because Satan hates Israel, and many have joined him in that hatred for the people of Israel and want to see them exterminated.
Absolutely. And there'll come a day, ladies and gentlemen, when it will look as though Israel, the Jewish people, it will seem from the natural eye, it will seem from the statistical data, it will be looked at as an overwhelming battle that Israel cannot sustain itself and will be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, there's a question about Israel's right to the land. And not only that question about the right to the land, but there's the question about should Israel continue the battle
What should be done? Dr. Phelps, I'm going to read some headlines, and then we're going to talk about it. Headline one, Iran launches missile attacks against Israel. Headline two, Biden administration preps post-election revenge on Israel. Biden and Kamala Harris hate Israel. They're already planning now that if they win the election, what they can do to undermine Benjamin Netanyahu and remove him from office so that they can allow the, quote, Palestinians come in and possess the land. Will that happen? No, but that's their plans. Headline, Pew poll. That's P-E-W, the Pew poll. 50% of the Democrats blame Israel for the war in Gaza. Headline, jihadist monsters and leftist crazies team up to set the world on fire. So the question is, will we have a global, universal war, what we call World War III? I believe we will. And look at Ezekiel 38 and 39 points it out. And the battle is over the land. The battle is against the Jewish people. The battle is an attempt to annihilate, to eviscerate, to totally destroy the Jewish people. Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at a headline. Iran launches a major ballistic missile barrage at Israel, and the Jewish nation has attempted to intercept all of the incoming missiles. Another headline, Iran launches a massive missile barrage at Israel. Another headline, Israel hits 300 targets in Lebanon after announcing that it is ramping up its attacks against Hezbollah and its stockpile of Russian-made missiles. Headline that I close with for that thought. Donald Trump says that Israel should hit Iran's nuclear facilities first and worry about the rest later. President Trump says that because the opposite of what is being said is from the Biden-Harris administration. They're publicly, Dr. Phelps, Harris and Biden are publicly saying to Israel, do not hit the nuclear plants in Iran. Iran has between 10 and 15 different sites with different components of the nuclear fission material being manufactured and made. I believe Iran already has the material for a nuclear weapon. I believe they're just simply working on the delivery system to deliver it. If they get the hands on a completed weapon system, nuclear weapon system, and a delivery system for it, the whole world will be at bay and at the missiles pointed at them from Iran. So the question is, should Israel go ahead and try to wipe that out? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe Israel should go ahead and do its very best to neutralize anything that Iran has called nuclear weapons. That is to shut it down, stop the production. Most of what they have as far as the most valued portion of their nuclear production plants are buried some 5 miles deep into the mountainside with encased in 5 to 10 foot of concrete and steel, which is impenetrable by any weapon that we have in America or known weapon, what they call bunker busting missiles. We do not have anything that will go that depth and do it. But Israel has the weaponry that can go in and close off the entrance and exits to those facilities and shut down the ventilation system that would cease the production of the nuclear weapons. I believe Israel needs to do that. I believe that whatever Joe Biden says they need to do, I believe they need to do the opposite of that. Biden says not to go after that. I believe that Israel needs to wipe out their oil production plants. I believe Israel needs to go in and neutralize their nuclear weapon capabilities. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, according to the scripture in Zechariah the 12th chapter, Dr. Phelps, read Zechariah chapter 12, about the first three verses, and then we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 in particular. We find in those verses something interesting that I believe we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen.
Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretched forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, I repeat, for all the people, all that burden themselves with it, shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. That's Zechariah chapter 12, 1 through 3.
Dr. Phelps, in looking at that text, and in the balance of the text in Zechariah chapter 12, total unit of thought is verses 1 through 14. God sets the stage for the nation of Israel, and this is an eschatological prophetic text, ladies and gentlemen, to be fulfilled in the future, but we're witnessing and watching the stage being set now for the coming about of what we see in Zechariah the 12th chapter. And in Zechariah the 12th chapter, we see God's introduction to what he is and who he is as the creator, controller of the universe. Then he goes on to say, and I'm going to paraphrase it, Dr. Phelps, that Israel will become the focal point of the world. It will be a burdensome stone to the world. And he goes on to say, whoever tries to lift that burdensome stone, whoever tries to remove that burdensome stone, God says, I'm going to crush it. That is an interesting, concerning, and yet a fabulous text, ladies and gentlemen, that gives us the assurance in the Word of God that God says any nation that tries to put its hands on the nation of Israel, that tries to destroy the nation of Israel, that tries in some way to undermine and to eviscerate the nation of Israel, God says, I'm going to destroy it. When you look at the balance of that text, ladies and gentlemen, in Zechariah chapter 12, you find that God will bring about confusion and catastrophe and calamity for the enemy that comes against the nation of Israel. And Dr. Phelps, we recall back in Genesis 12, I believe it is, where God has promised to bless every nation that blesses Israel and to curse every nation that curses Israel. So, ladies and gentlemen, what that tells me is that we have a lot of folks today that, if you want to put it in the young blood vernacular, just dumb and ignorant as to what God says. And God says, in essence, the apple of my eye, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, don't touch them, leave them alone, do not try to undermine them, do not try to destroy them, do not try to eviscerate them. Simply because I will destroy you as a nation that comes against the nation of Israel. Dr. Phelps, I don't know about you, but it brings joy and interest and excitement in my heart when I realize what the Scripture tells us in relationship to what God is doing, what God is going to do. I'm of the opinion that Israel should, it must, do everything possible to prevent Iran from coming in against them and against them. Keep in mind that Iran says that Israel is Satan and America is the great Satan. Whatever, ladies and gentlemen, whatever Iran wants to do and the Islamic nations, whatever they want to do against Israel, they also want to do against the United States of America. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, the Bible points out that Russia will lead a five-nation coalition. That is Syria, Iran, Libya, Germany, and Turkey will be led by Russia to cross the Euphrates River, and that is found in Revelation the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 16. They'll cross the Euphrates River, coming against Israel. They said, the Scripture says in Revelation the 16th chapter, that it'll be demonic delusion that will cause the kings of all of the nations to come against Israel. That, ladies and gentlemen, will be found in the battle that we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39. But the culmination of that battle we find in Zechariah, the 12th chapter. When we look at that, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. This is the capstone. When it seems as though Israel is going to be eviscerated, totally wiped out, totally annihilated, the Lord Jesus Christ returns and he will slay the enemies of Israel with the sword of his mouth. Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21 is the comparative text, is the linking text in that understanding. So, Dr. Phelps, with that in mind, as our listeners listen to, pay attention to, and understand what is happening in Israel, what are your final thoughts in relationship to what should our listeners do? What should be the takeaway? Should they be afraid of what's going to happen to Israel, or should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Tell us that in kind of a wrap-up thought of today's broadcast.
First of all, I would like to say that Israel is God's chosen earthly people.
Yes, absolutely.
And God has made some promises that he must keep to Israel. God is faithful to do what he promised. God has promised that Israel is going to be restored to the promised land.
Yes.
In the last days. It's called the millennial.
That's right.
In the future thousand-year reign of Christ, then Jerusalem will be the capital of the world.
Amen.
And Israel will be the most prominent nation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
God has chosen to place his temple there in the future.
That's right.
There's going to be a rebuilt temple, and God's going to build up a royal family, and David's descendant has been raised up. He's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
son of David. God intends to set him upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he will reign for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that Jesus is coming soon. What we see happening in the Middle East only points to the truth that is very near. It may be soon. God's going to deal with the nations that come against Israel, and God is going to fulfill what he promised so that Jerusalem will actually be God's dwelling place mm-hmm. in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And after that, then God's going to remake the earth, or he's going to make a new heaven, a new earth. But yet he speaks of the Jerusalem as being the place of his residence.
Absolutely. It's exciting thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the eschatological prophetic text. God's word tells us what's happening. God's word gives us the roadmap. God's word gives us the shining light down the road of what will take place next, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and we need to place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say, I just got text information that Milton, the hurricane now is a Category 5 headed toward Florida. So pray for those that will be in the storm's path. Could very well be our area also. Pray for safety and protection. Pray for those up in North Carolina and Tennessee that's still suffering the devastation. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the hand of God at work in the nations around the world and in the United States of America. I believe God is trying to get our attention in America. I believe God is saying, look up, lift up your heads, and realize our redemption draweth nigh. The very next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the man of sin, the Antichrist, steps on the scene, rules and reigns with an iron fist for a seven-year period of time. And then the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and as Dr. Phelps just stated, the Lord Jesus Christ will return and be seated on his throne in the temple in Jerusalem, and will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. Israel has promised a strong response to Iran's direct missile attack. Iran says if Israel responds with force,